My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Here's Lowe. There goes the runner from first. The pitch is taken. The throw is through. Breaking for the plate and diving in safely at home plate is Josh Smith as the double steal works and the Rangers lead 2-0.
And then the Astros loss, and then Seattle loss, and your Texas Rangers, y'all, are three games back. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby on the home of the World Series champs as they hang on to beat the White Sox again. Is it altering your minds when it comes to the trade deadline? Let's bring in the man, Jared Sandler, on the D&M Leasing Hotline. You say he was feeling a little electric last night for a Tuesday night against the White Sox inside the Globe?
Well, they had the Adolis Garcia World Series ring giveaway, and so it was a sellout. Nearly 40,000 people there, and yeah, there was some like early game energy. You know, it's one thing when you hit a couple home runs early and you have these obvious moments that will get the crowd on their feet. But you know, other than that highlight you played with the double steal and then the Adolis Garcia single that preceded that got the Rangers on the board, it wasn't like, you know, you had all these fireworks type moments, but you kind of felt a little extra juice in the building last night, which was kind of cool.
Jared, is this series altering your mind in any way when it comes to what the Rangers should do trade-wise?
Well, I said right before the second half started, I thought they needed to go 5-2 over this homestand, and losing the first two to Baltimore meant they needed to win 5 straight, and they've won, you know, 3 in a row since then. So, I think if they win tonight and tomorrow, I mean, not that you have to submit your position at that point, things can change, but, you know, I think it maybe pushes them a little bit more to buying. Now, let's make something clear here as far as what that means. The Rangers are not in a position this year like they were last year, where at this time last year, even though they did almost find their way out of the playoffs, we felt like, all right, this is a team, they're in the playoffs. Now it's about strengthening their position towards the playoffs and maybe even strengthening their position to hold the division. And we know that didn't end up happening. But, you know, there's a big difference when you're sitting there leading up to the trade deadline and you are, you know, pretty confident you're a playoff team with what you are able or willing to spend, versus if you're on the outside looking in and you're just trying to get in the playoffs, right? Because the last thing you want to do is, you know, make a big move and then you come up short in the playoffs and it's like, well, all that for nothing. Or, you know, in terms of making the playoffs. It's not about, you know, World Series or bust. But you don't want to make a big trade to buy for a rental and then not end up making the playoffs. So I think the Rangers obviously would be interested in guys with control, but they also could be interested in some, you know, cheaper moves, not in terms of production, but think about a depth reliever or two, or a left-handed reliever who's not necessarily a closing option, or not thought of as that, but someone who can make a big difference in stretching your bullpen. Those guys aren't going to be super expensive. What about a guy like Yandy Diaz of the Rays? You know, he's not going to be a cash considerations deal, but he's also not going to be someone who's going to cost you one of your top prospects. So, and he would probably fill in as a DH mostly, and every once in a while get out there in the field, but strengthen your lineup. So those are the types of moves I think they would be willing to make. And there is a scenario, guys, because of the depth they have on the mound, where they can maybe trade a piece or two from a selling standpoint, with the idea that these guys coming back will help replace them, and then also maybe make another move or two as a buyer and kind of play both sides of the fence.
Jared Sandler joins us here, 105 through the Fan. I think a lot of times, like, we kind of look at this through, you know, our football eye. We're worried about how they're winning versus just the fact that they won. Like, do you look at the first two games of this series and style point it? Or because it's baseball and any bad team could sweep any team at any point, you don't worry about that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do think over a large sample size, and we saw this with the Rangers last year, that, you know, a separator for really good teams versus just good teams is that really good teams will blow other teams out from time to time, right? You know, I do believe that run differential tells you something, and I think that there's a strategic advantage to that, because you are able to better protect and rest your bullpen when you blow teams out, and maybe you save a few innings of energy expenditure a little more often for your everyday players. I just think that there is a benefit to that. But I'll say this: the White Sox are awful. They're terrible. They threw their two best starting pitchers though the first two games of the series, and they've been pitching the ball really well. They just don't hit. What you have seen these first two nights is probably a perfect illustration of why the White Sox suck. They can't hit. Like, they're just not a good hitting team at all. You watch their at-bats. You just watch the way that Rangers pitchers are able to pick them apart. And they don't do the things you need to do to win games. You know, whether it's that double steal in the first inning and just totally feeling so ill-prepared for that, whether it's, what happened in the first game of the series with the Rangers coming back in the ninth because the White Sox bullpen isn't particularly strong, right? That's, how about this? The White Sox have lost 20 games this year, 20, when they have not been trailing after eight innings. So either leading or tied after eight innings, they have lost 20 times this year. That is an absurd amount. So to answer your question, RJ, yeah, we would obviously feel a lot better if the Rangers won games 11-1 and 13-2 or something. And I think it's a fair question to ask, because the big question is, do you think this lineup is going to click? Are they going to get it together? But I think to some degree at this time of the year right now, the style points aren't as important as just getting wins and getting back in the race, especially, as the Mariners and Astros have dropped their first two games against bad teams. You know, the Mariners have obviously lost their first two against the Angels, and the Astros have lost their first two against the A's. And style points or not, the Rangers have gained two games of ground on both those teams.
The guys are debating a little bit over what an Eovaldi return could be. What could entice you, Jared, to deal Nate? And to me, this whole thing is not really about this year. It's about next year. Like, no matter what happens, I want to make sure that the Rangers are a contender next year. Eovaldi, to me, is a big factor in that, and counting on Malley and Scherzer and DeGrom and the health of a staff for next season. What would entice you to pull the trigger on an Eovaldi deal?
Well, so first of all, let's understand the situation with Eovaldi contractually. Yep. If he reaches 300 combined innings from last year and this year, he has a vesting player option, an option that he will likely decline and become a free agent. He is almost certainly going to become a free agent, because if he doesn't hit that vesting option, then he'll be a free agent. I never know. I know we always like to play this game. We'll trade the guy and then sign him back. And RJ, maybe it was you yesterday talking about, the Chapman deal, when the Yankees traded Chapman to the Cubs and got Gleyber Torres, and then they signed him back. And
the Lester deal that didn't work. Yeah.
Right, yeah, and for every Chapman example, there's, 10 of those lesser examples, right, where you think. So, I don't know. I do know at this point in Nate's career, I think he values the fact that he's like a less than an hour flight away from home, and because he lives, you know, in the Alvin, Houston area. And, you know, maybe there would be incentive for him to come back. I know he loves it here. I don't know how much trading a guy versus keeping him impacts that. Sean, I'm with you. I want this guy back next year. I think that Nathan Eovaldi is one of those guys who has an impact on your team far greater than just what he does on the mound. He is this team's, in my opinion, biggest leader, most important leader, most important player in that clubhouse. Because he has had big-time success in the postseason, not just once but multiple times, that adds to the potential return. If the Rangers were in full seller mode and they decided, hey, we're going to pair Kirby Yates and Nathan Eovaldi together, and you take a team like the Orioles, you take a team maybe even like the Phillies, not that the Phillies necessarily need starting help, but maybe what if the Dodgers go and make a big move? Heck, I mean, what about the Dodgers, right? What if they decide Evan Phillips has struggled and they certainly need some pitching help? You can get I think, maybe not a team's best prospect, but you can get a really good prospect. Now, with all that said, every year the personality of the trade deadline is different. I mean, there's so many variables in play. What you get for a guy or for a package 1 year might not be the same or might not be anywhere close to it the next year. So, you know, I could sit here and try and sound smart and tell you that I know exactly what these guys are going to be worth at the 2024 trade deadline, but we really don't. Every year there's surprises. You think, wow, I can't believe this guy got you this much, or man, I thought this guy would get you more. I do think that Nathan Eovaldi has a chance to either headline a package or be a individual trade chip that gets you a really appealing prospect or package return. And then the other thing too, guys, narratives play a role in this too, right? You know, what if, you're looking at the Orioles and the Yankees go and make a big move? That's going to maybe incentivize Mike Elias to do something. Maybe the Phillies go and make a big move and the Dodgers are like, hey, that's our chief rival in the National League. I'm now willing to give you a little bit extra because, you know, if the Dodgers too, think about this, they've won one World Series during this, you know, 10 plus year run of dominance being World Series contenders. The Phillies lost the World Series the other year. Last year, they were shocked in the NLCS, thought they were going to get to the World Series. There's a little extra motivation for them, right? That the narratives all play a part in who you're dealing with, what the market is. All these things impact your return. But I think that an Eovaldi and Yates package could get you a very exciting return if the Rangers wanted to go that route. But with these wins here the last few days and creeping closer into the division, I think it's less appealing to them to maybe go that route.
Jared, and I'm the one who wants to purge everyone. I just trade Seager, trade everyone, Jared. That's where I'm at. Not legitimately, but for a team that so soberly and unemotionally evaluated Jordan Montgomery over the offseason, doesn't it at least feel a little emotionally held to the moment to judge things just by, like, was it a W or an L in the column instead of just like soberly looking at what is our baseball team right now and are they good enough? Because everything we've seen at this point looks like right now they're not necessarily good enough to really contend for a World Series.
That's a fair question. The Mariners right now look lost. The Astros, I think there's a belief, not just, my bias against the Astros. I think like industry-wide, there's a belief that they're good, but they're not that great. The Rangers are three games back, Bobby. So let's just say the Rangers would have won these two games, but the Astros and Mariners won their first two games of their respective series, and the Rangers are five games back. Calculus might be a little bit different, right? Let's say the Mariners didn't just put Julio Rodriguez and J.P. Crawford. They're typically one and two hitters, even though Julio's been bumped down because he's been bad this year. But let's say they didn't just put those guys on the IL. Maybe it feels a little bit different. The Rangers have Josh Young coming back. They have Evan Carter coming back. They have Cody Bradford coming back. They got Tyler Mahle, who is coming back from injury, set to, you know, here in the next couple weeks, make his Rangers debut. And then there's some guy named Jacob DeGrom a month later. And even if Jacob DeGrom is not a guy who this year they're going to unleash, you know, five, six, seven innings, if I get three innings every 5 days from Jacob DeGrom, I feel like I just need to win six innings in that game. Right? So they've got – I hear you. They've got guys coming back, though. So you can – I think both sides are fair, Bobby. If you were to tell me, hey, they're still an under 500 team. Let's punt because of X, Y, and Z reason. I think you could put together a really strong argument. But you can also put together a really strong argument that, hey, you know what? They haven't had a great 100 game start to the season. They've also missed some really key players. They're right there in the division. Neither team has run away with it. And they're the defending World Series champions. And they, you know, whether, like, I always thought it was bogus that people thought the Mavs had this God-given right to try and defend their title in 2012, when it was clear that their team was about to be in a retirement home and they weren't going to run it back. I don't think you have a God-given right, but that's not what this team is. This team has a lot of those guys, and hopefully they're going to be as healthy as they've ever been here in the next couple weeks. And again, they're not seven games back of the division. They're three games back of the division. So and you can address, the other thing too I'll say is, you can address their biggest needs with the return of injured players and acquisitions of the deadline that could be on the cheaper side, right? It's not like this team needs a frontline starter.
Yeah.
It's not like, yes, could this team use a big bopper in the middle of the order? Sure, but they don't necessarily need to go and get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Luis Robert Jr. They can go and, like I mentioned earlier, a Yandy Diaz or a Taylor Ward. So they can make some moves without compromising anything about next year and still give themselves a fighting chance within reason to try and win the division in a division that is weak and right now have teams that look a little bit like the Rangers did at this time last year, where they were holding on for dear life in the division.
Good luck at the dentist. Thank you for the time, brother. We'll be hitting you up soon.
Thanks. The dentist sucks.
What are you getting done?
Dude, I have this tooth thing in the back of my right side on the top where anything cold is so painful to eat or drink right now, and I'm really nervous. Well,
frozen grapes.
Dentist it's sucks unless grapes, you're going to Kissable Dental. Kissable Dental's great.
Thank you, Sam, man.
You guys.
The man, Jared Sandler, on the D&M Leasing Hotline. How do you cook that lesser brisket? It's a meat church hump day. Brought to you by our friends at Mr. Electric. Let's get on the grill with Matt Pittman next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is a Meet Church Wednesday brought to you by our Tolo friends at Mr. Electric, who have the power to make things better, here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby as we get set to fly out to Oxnard, California right after the show for Cowboys show number one in Cali tomorrow morning on The Fan. And joining us, I believe, from Destin, Florida, the site of hundreds of Facebook and social media responses I got when I was inquiring what Destin is like as a vacation spot. He might be the king of Destin. Matt Pittman on 105 through The Fan and the Zoom. Are you in Destin right now?
Yeah, just down the street, Miramar Beach, but yeah, well, pretty much Destin.
Okay, what is so great about this place that everyone, including you, have been telling me about?
Well, we started coming to Florida. I did Ironman Florida in 2010, and it was in Panama City.
Ironman? So you did a marathon contest?
Yeah. That was before I got really good at barbecue.
Wow.
What a flex.
Wow.
Little known fact.
What was your specialty? Was it the swimming, the biking, or the running?
My specialty was finishing.
Mine too.
Bobby.
So we stayed down here in Panama City that next year because that's where the race was. And then everybody's like, man, you got to go to Destin. It's better for family. So we ended up finding this spot on Miramar Beach and just rented it in this neighborhood for a long time. There's just so much to do. You know, I grew up in the South and everybody in the South comes to Florida for vacation. So I was kind of used to it, but it's just super pretty. The beaches are undefeated, man. 60 miles of like white sand beach and gorgeous water and tons of stuff for the kids to do, like I said, and a lot of good food. And yeah, I mean, we had a private sandcastle class yesterday for our kids. So there's always, every day there's something.
Private sandcastle class? Is that? That's, they have those?
Oh, yeah. That's how you know you've made it, when you can find that. Yeah, no, this random guy walked. I saw him doing it like a year ago, and I thought that looks pretty cool. And my kids were scoping it out, and he just happened to walk by me a couple days ago. So I hit him up. And he's like, yeah, man, I got a spot next week. And we got a bunch of families in town visiting this week. So they did it yesterday. It's pretty cool.
But has Destin now become overrun with tourism? And because people were telling me like, no, you got to stay at Area B or Area C or whatever the hell these
51
hotel rooms are called.
Yeah. So right after COVID, this whole area like exploded. But it has slowed down a little. Like we were fishing a couple days ago. And the boat captain told me that his fishing revenue is off nearly 40%. So he said, you know, there's people here, but they're due to the economy, people aren't spending their money. But, you know, there are people that go down towards Seaside and 38. It's more expensive. There's a lot less to do, in my opinion. So, I mean, they're all cool. They're all great. Nothing wrong with any of them. Just a personal thing, I guess.
Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, during a Mr. Electric Wednesday here on The Fan. So are you going to cook at Cowboys camp in Oxnard or not?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there in about late August. So, yeah, I'll be out there.
What are you making and how do you decide and where are you cooking? How do you get the grill and the meat shipped over there? What are you making?
Well, it's still kind of up in the air, but we're leaning towards not doing barbecue. We're leaning towards actually grilling and doing steak. And so there's a guy, Randy Lamb, that's done this for a long time. And I know he's going to be doing a steak night. So we're talking about I might jump in and kind of help him. It's kind of still up in the air. But since I do a lot of barbecue here, and it'd be really difficult for me to get my smokers all the way out there, a guy named Kevin Bledsoe, pretty well known, he's got a TV show. He's got a barbecue joint out there. I believe he's going to be doing barbecue one day. A lot easier for him to get all of his gear out there. But the Cowboys have a big trailer rig that has a grill on it and smoker and things like that. So I probably will not be hauling all of my stuff all the way to California.
Ribeyes?
That's going to be my vote for sure. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's my favorite steak. You know, it's a way to impress, get them cut the thickness you want. And so anytime I'm cooking steak for anybody, it's absolutely going to be a ribeye if the choice is mine.
Now, when you are making ribeyes for a football team, how are you dividing up medium, medium rare, and please don't say medium well?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, I'd cook them all medium rare if it were my choice, but it's pretty tough to cook. You know, honestly, it's not easy to cook steaks for a couple hundred people, you know, that quickly. I understand they do come in for lunch over like a 2 hour period. So it's not like everybody's sitting down to eat once. So, you know, I think my game plan would be probably shooting for medium, knowing you're going to overcook a little, you know, so that way you have options for people. Cause I'm always kind of shocked when I run into people that like really good steaks cooked, you know, more done than I think they should be. But I always say taste is personal, and I don't get to tell you what you like. So if you want it done more, so be it, I guess.
Well, Matt, I will tell people that they're wrong about their tastes all the time, and particularly Californians, because when you go out there to California, if you were to go stop into a restaurant, Matt, and you were to say, hey, I'd like an order of queso, then they don't bring you out like the wonderful melted, you know, appetizer that we have here in Texas. They will bring you out what is essentially baked cheese. They put cheese in a skillet, bake it, and then it's just this like stringy mess. It's not like a dip. And I know that your smoked queso is one of the more like popular items of yours that I've seen people rave about on the internet. So please correct Californians while you're out there, and even right here, right now, on what queso is actually supposed to be like.
I mean, it's probably like the official appetizer of the state of Texas. So, you know, I definitely think you're right. In fact, we made some here 2 days ago. Like I said, we got a bunch of people over. And we were doing hamburger. We're actually making smash burgers for everybody. And I was like, you know what? Let's throw down the queso. And I hadn't made it in quite a while. And, you know, it's on meatchurch.com. It's very easy. Store-bought ingredients. And it was a gigantic hit. And as soon as I did it, I was like, why am I not doing this more often? But every single time you have a crowd, it's less than $15 worth of ingredients. And it's a massive hit.
I'm going to delay the brisket talk since we're in the spirit of California for camp. Because the brisket of California, RJ Choppy, is?
Brisket of California.
Overcooked.
I have no idea. What is the brisket of California?
Matt?
Tri-tip.
Okay. What is tri-tip? Is it worth subbing out, you know, a brisket here and there? I see it in the store. I hear it's a pain in the ass to slice. Why is tri-tip so popular? Because I will see it in the Costco's here and there.
Yeah. I'm a big fan, so it's so people, you can cook it two ways, but let's focus on cooking it like a steak to start, which was how it was popularized. So I believe around the 50s became popular in California, grilled directly over a red oak fire and, you know, seasoned pretty simply. And like I said, cook it like a steak. So the meat is actually from the bottom sirloin, but none of that really matters. And the grain runs two different directions. So when you have it raw and you look at it, usually right, it's kind of triangular shaped, almost like sometimes almost like a, not quite like a boomerang, but anyway, right in the crease, the grain changes direction and you want to slice it when it's done against the grain, cut those muscle fibers up so that when you take a bite, it's tender. It's kind of like fajitas cut the wrong way. If you ever get a fajita and you take a bite of a taco and you're chewing the meat forever, it was usually sliced with the grain. So you want to take a look at it when it's raw, because after it's cooked, sometimes it's a little more difficult to see the direction of the grain. And that way, when you're done with it, I usually will slice it in half right at that point and slice it against both grains. The other thing that has come up in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years is cooking a tri-tip like a brisket. So instead of cooking it to say 130 degrees internal temperature, just literally season it and pretend it's a brisket, you know, wrap it and cook it all the way to probe tender. So over 200 degrees, pretty polarizing on social media. I did it for a video on Meat Church, I think the year before last. I had never done it. And I was like, you know what? It does taste like brisket. And the pros of it is you can buy it for 25 bucks. If like maybe you have one, you know, it's just you or you and your wife and you don't want to spend, you know, $65 to $125 on a brisket, it's a way to get something that tastes like a brisket that's a lot more economical and cooks way quicker.
So is that the one meal that California does well then, or is there another one?
Fish tacos, maybe?
Fish tacos, yeah, any kind of fish, right?
Spencer McKenzie.
So you guys trying to get me lynched when I get out there? Yeah, I'm a big fan of it, though. So, yeah, you definitely got it. Get them at Costco. The couple in a pack, totally, totally worth it. I love it.
I always, in my series of who discovered this first in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this moldy cheese be good as blue
right,
cheese.
Yeah.
Let's do that. We can eat this raw. This is poisonous. That isn't poisonous. Whoever freaking the cutting the fibers, like I'm glad
the
I was not.
Way, yeah.
I'm glad I was not an early, settler, figuring this out as I'm serving the toughest, stringiest food out there. Instead of, oh, let me slice this against the fiber and against the grain for the better bite.
He's right. There's nothing worse than trying to bite into a fajita that's cut the wrong way. That's homemade.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Sorry, we're going to miss you, but we'll catch up to preview you cooking for the Cowboys and enjoy your private sandcastle classes out there in Destin. Thank you, Matt.
See you, boys.
There he is, Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, brought to you by our Tolo friends at Mr. Electric, who have the power to make things better every other Wednesday here on Sean and RJ. All right, it is the final step in our Bobby Belt series of previewing America's team before we are out there training camp later on today. Do the Cowboys have the necessary pieces to run Mike Zimmer's complex schemes? Bobby wraps up the roster inventory after this. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Malik Hooker might be the most important player on defense this year. There's a decent chance of it. More on that specifically in just a second. We're doing a Cowboys roster inventory as we head off to Oxnard right after the show. Sean making the bold choice to go home first instead of go straight to the airport for what time's our flight?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I legitimately just found out all the details of our trip last night at like 9 o'clock. Our flight, our
hotel.
Pretty sure
it was emailed to you like 6 months ago.
I know it was, but I lost it.
I'll get home at 10:30, wrap up whatever final packing. Eat early lunch, leave the house at 11, get to DFW airport at 11:30, maybe 11:40.
Ooh, yeah, and then you got to go through security, though. You're trusting that it's going to be a light line?
If it's not, I'll just Gavin Dawson it.
Or you'll
just go back another day whenever I feel like it.
You could choppy it. You could buy your clear pass or your TSA pre-check or whatever you got there. So
should I be expecting? I know it's a dumb question. Craziness at DFW airport.
DFW generally, they're secure. They got, because like most, they've got like 3 or 4 security checkpoints per terminal. You're not looking. Usually, of course, it's going to happen today.
Yeah.
But usually it's not that bad.
I know Delta is still like.
At DFW? Hey,
no, just. I don't know where it was. I saw Charles Barkley like being interviewed, like waiting for his bags. Like Delta's still haywire.
I typically.
What time are you getting there, Mr. Preach to everyone else?
I'm not preaching. I'm just saying it's like, a bold choice.
So when are you getting there?
I'll be there probably 11:10, something like that.
Okay.
So, because I'm going to go book it straight home and then Kristen's dropping me off because I didn't want to leave the car over here. And we got to figure out checking bags and where we're going to go drinking tonight until 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and we got a lot of decisions
to make. You guys
are
going to make fun of me when we get there.
You checked a bunch of bags?
Because you're bringing your girlfriend on the guys trip?
It's not really a guys trip. It's a work trip. Bringing her because...
Fiance, not girlfriend.
She says, I don't understand how their girls can go 10 days without their guys. That's what she said. So I took that as a compliment. No. We are bringing an extra suitcase. Empty one.
She just knows she's going to be closer to Bonte when she goes.
Right. For all the edibles?
For some. But for the liquor to bring home. Because you can't... There's certain types of liquor are just very, very difficult to find here. It's just very difficult. In California, you can get them in CVSs. So we bought a... a wine suitcase that we're going to be... bringing it home.
Man. Wow. Yeah. You're matching rompers too.
So wine or liquor bottles, or they fit both?
They fit both. They're shaped like it's got the cutout of the styrofoam. It's shaped like a wine bottle, but I mean, you could fit really anything in there.
One size fits all. Yeah.
That's right, baby.
Love that. All right. So we're taking a look at the secondary here. We of course know Trayvon Diggs is opening training camp on.
And the answer to that, Sarah, is children. You'll know if you force RJ into it. That's how they can be away from us for 10 days.
Twist his arm.
They'll just pack up the 2-month-old and say, sit in the Holiday Inn in Oxnard. Children.
The Trayvon Diggs is going to start training camp on PUP. Not a lot of clarity about exactly how quickly he'll be ready to go. I would imagine we're going to get some clarity of that whenever Mike McCarthy starts speaking or, well, never mind, not when McCarthy starts speaking. Whenever Jerry speaks, I guess we'll get clarity on that. We'll have timelines. And so you've got a setup with the cornerback group right now where there's a lot of guys who are, it's kind of a make it or break it time for them. So you've got their corner safety combo, Israel Mukwamu. You've got Nashawn Wright, who has just not progressed at all the way that they had wanted him to, the way they anticipated he would. He's been banged up a lot, hurt a lot. I think this is probably end of the road for Nashawn Wright this year. Eric Scott Jr., who they drafted last year in the fifth round, and they actually traded a future pick to go up and get him. That's another guy that could be on the trading block or could be on the bubble. Two guys we heard earlier, Archer mentioning Junior Fajoko, the defensive lineman who could go. Eric Scott and Junior Fajoko are two examples right there of what happens when the coach who was here when you were picked, how that can shift things for you pretty quickly. Because Eric Scott and Junior Fajoko were two guys that Dan Quinn was a big fan of. And to be fair, Al Harris is still a big fan of Eric Scott whenever you hear him talk about him. But that's two guys that they were really excited about after last year's draft that could be traded or released or completely moved on from now because things are just different. It's a different scheme. It's a different philosophy, different outlook. But with Diggs out, this is going to be a big opportunity for Kalen Carson, who they picked in the fifth round this year, the cornerback out of Wake Forest. He's a guy who I think they had him graded probably closer to like the third, fourth round, and is a guy that they think they got really great value on. Is somebody I think they have in their future is that's going to be the guy starting alongside Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs whenever Jordan Lewis is out of here. That's going to be our trio of corners. But behind that, there's just a lot of questions about Jordan Lewis, 1 year older, being a little injury prone at this point in his career, undersized. What are you going to get out of him totally? How quickly is Kalen Carson going to be ready? Is Gerrion Conley, the UFL corner you signed, is he going to be a big contributor to this? So you end up with a lot of questions back there that lead to things like Archer talking about earlier that Stephon Gilmore could potentially still be on their radar if they get to camp and go, this is not working. That could be your Anthony Barr type signing where you get into camp and go, we got to flesh this out a little bit more.
So Gilmore's just sitting there waiting. Yep. Has he had offers and he's just being picky?
Publicly flirted with Carolina a little bit, but that's kind of just been it that we've heard about publicly. I think there was communication between Dallas and Gilmore's side, and it was clear they just weren't close early in the offseason. But other than that, I think it's just been largely quiet. It's been quiet for a lot of these veteran corners this year in the free agent market. It's not paid off the same sort of way. Before we go to the safety group, you talked earlier about Trey Lance's number one storyline for you. Like, that's where you're going to be focused.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think everybody's keeping an eye out on that. Would number two be, depending on how quickly it comes back, just overall during the course of training camp, whether they're here or back in Oxnard, is number two at this point, what does Trayvon Diggs look like? Because there have been so many questions about ACL players in recent years.
How many times does he curse out Dak? Call him the B word.
Yeah. I mean, Dak.
You weird for that.
Yeah, Dak. I miss no training camp time. Coming off my injury, I miss no training camp time, Diggs. That's what it'll tell him. But they've had a lot of issues with guys rehabbing from ACLs. We've talked about that over the course of the last 2 days, especially with Michael Gallup's retirement from the Raiders yesterday.
Say it.
Say what part?
Call them out.
Call out who?
Call out the people doing the surgeries.
I don't know that it's a surgery issue. Like that's what I'm saying.
Call out their training staff then.
But that's what I don't know. It's the training staff either. That's what I'm saying. Like, I legitimately have. There's a question of, is this bad luck that they've run into with Jabril Cox, Michael Gallup, and Terrence Steele? Those three. Is it specific to the positions they're playing and what they're being asked to do? Is Diggs, who a guy who's got to cut and move laterally a lot, is that going to be impacted by it? He's up on the list of things I'm watching to figure out. Okay, are you going to be able to legitimately count him? And if you can't, how big a difference does it make for them if you're getting 70% of what you've come to expect from Trayvon Diggs? That's going to be really difficult on their secondary.
It's huge.
Over in the safety group, you've got Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson solidified as your two starters after Jayron Kearse departed this offseason. They've had that three safety rotation a lot. Marquise Bell, who spent a lot of time in the linebacker room last year, out of necessity, is now back to his natural position at safety. And you've also got Wanya Thomas there, who can play nickel, can play some corner, can play in the box, can play free, strong. He's a really versatile player, and so they like him, and I think they'll have him around here a lot. But Malik Hooker specifically, as the free safety, the quarterback, the kind of 10,000-foot view of what the defense has set up and kind of directing everybody, is going to be so critical to the Cowboys' success on defense this year.
Because are you done?
Yeah, sure.
Wrapped up?
Yep, I'm done.
Good.
Malik Hooker, he's important.
Because we have a little surprise here.
Are you done?
I knew I shouldn't.
The belt over to Peyton Phillip Russell.
Oh, I know what you did.
Oh, Bobby. Well, you got to know, I'm a producer too.
Okay, play your dumb song.
You said the website, and so here we go. This is Obnoxious Bobby and his big forehead.
Yo, Bobby in the crib, forehead like a satellite. Mom gone left, him solo in the twilight.
Oh, no.
Neighbors peeping, whispering how much they despise. Squabbling over nothing, he's the reason for the flies. Boy, blocking out the sun, eclipse on the rise. Apartment shaking Bobby's voice like a bad surprise. Think they hate him? Oh, that's just the starting line. Bobby ain't no quitter, he just sipping on that wine. Obnoxious Bobby got a body nobody's wanting. Forehead shot it brighter than the morning. People hating, ain't no debating. He just blaming on the world, perpetually frustrating. Lost his mom young, bit his soul, always prowling. Forehead beam illuminating, past he's falling. Neighbors can't stand the noise he be bringing. But Bobby's vibe too strong, ain't no silencing. He got that Stephen King grin, lean like a villain. In the old department, sense of cold and a chilling. Annoying but determined, a king in his mind. Stubborn as a mule, forever unrefined. Obnoxious Bobby got a body nobody's wanting. Forehead shining brighter than the morning. People hating, ain't no debating. He just blaming on the world, perpetually frustrating. He got that Stephen King grin, lean like
Stephen
a villain.
King grin.
In the old department, sense of cold and a chilling. Annoying but determined, a king in his mind. Stubborn as a mule, forever unrefined. Obnoxious Bobby got a body nobody's wanting. Forehead shining brighter than the morning. People hating, ain't no debating. He just blaming on the world, perpetually frustrating.
Thank you, AI, for that. Jeez.
Good. Wow. There's only one problem with the song, Peyton. There's the line in there. It's just it's not accurate. It says, like, Bobby got no bodies or whatever. I got bodies.
Hopefully just one.
No, but remember there's the girl on Snapchat who tried to blackmail me.
That one was a little...
Oh, no, wait. That was you.
A little dark.
That one was a little harder to understand, but Bobby has been...
Oh, I caught all of it.
Did you?
Yeah, every
line. Bobby's been putting in AI songs for everyone as we are leaving for Oxstar, and that was Pepe behind the scenes.
That's the second line, man.
I just want to know what you typed in. Forehead, annoying.
Yeah, how'd you have that many characters?
Mom, apartment. What else did you put in?
I think that was it. Maybe loud in there too.
Loud in there too.
Or they just assumed that.
What was your line that you liked?
The second line, like something about
his mom left him.
Yeah, mom left him.
She didn't leave me. She was taken by it was an acute respiratory distress syndrome. It basically hardened her lungs and like she had a hole like blown out in them.
Okay.
And her lungs couldn't recover. Right. So she basically spent a month on a ventilator.
That's old news.
Couldn't breathe.
Let's move on. We move forward.
Ventilators are very relevant in this day and age. I don't know what you're talking
about. That's old news. So there's Pepe's revenge on Roberto in his very own segment here on Sean and RJ. All right. We need you to hit the microphone on the Odyssey app to record your prediction for training camp, not for the Cowboys, but for the radio station. Training camp over-unders for 105 through the fan and the entire staff. That kicks off the final hour of the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Malik Hooker might be the most important player on defense this year. There's a decent chance of it. More on that specifically in just a second. We're doing a Cowboys roster inventory as we head off to Oxnard right after the show. Sean making the bold choice to go home first instead of go straight to the airport for what time's our flight?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I legitimately just found out all the details of our trip last night at like 9 o'clock. Our flight, our
hotel.
Pretty sure
it was emailed to you like 6 months ago.
I know it was, but I lost it.
I'll get home at 10:30, wrap up whatever final packing. Eat early lunch, leave the house at 11, get to DFW airport at 11:30, maybe 11:40.
Ooh, yeah, and then you got to go through security, though. You're trusting that it's going to be a light line?
If it's not, I'll just Gavin Dawson it.
Or you'll...
Just go back another day whenever I feel like it.
You can choppy it. You could buy your clear pass or your TSA pre-check or whatever you got there. So
should I be expecting? I know it's a dumb question. Craziness at DFW airport.
DFW generally, they're secure. They got because like most, they've got like three or four security checkpoints per terminal. You're not
looking usually, of course it's going to happen today.
Yeah.
But usually it's not that bad.
I know Delta is still like
at DFW.
I don't know where it was. I saw Charles Barkley like being interviewed, like waiting for his bags. Like Delta's still haywire.
I typically.
What time are you getting there, Mr. Preach to everyone else?
I'm not preaching. I'm just saying it's a bold choice.
When are you getting there?
I'll be there probably 11:10, something like that.
Okay.
So, because I'm going to go book it straight home, and then Kristen's dropping me off because I didn't want to leave the car over here. And we got to figure out checking bags and where we're going to go drinking tonight until 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and we got a lot of decisions
to make. You guys are going to make fun of me when we get there.
You checked a bunch of bags?
Because you're bringing your girlfriend on the guys trip?
It's not really a guys trip. It's a work trip. Bringing her because...
Fiance, not girlfriend.
Come she on. Says, I don't understand how their girls can go 10 days without their guys. That's what she said. So I took that as a compliment. No. We are bringing an extra suitcase. Empty one.
She just knows she's going to be closer to Bonte when she goes.
Right. For all the edibles?
Well, for some. But for the liquor to bring home. Because you can't... There's certain types of liquor are just very, very difficult to find here. They're just very difficult. In California, you can get them in CVS's. So we bought a wine suitcase that we're going to be bringing it home.
Man. Wow. Yeah. You're matching rompers, too.
So wine or liquor bottles, or they fit both?
They fit both. They're shaped like it's got the cutout of the styrofoam. It's shaped like a wine bottle. But, I mean, you could fit really anything in there.
One size fits all. Yeah.
That's right, baby.
Love that. All right. So we're taking a look at the secondary here. We, of course, know Trayvon Diggs is opening training camp on.
And the answer to that, Sarah, is children. You'll know if you force RJ into it. That's how they can be away from us for 10 days.
Twist his arm.
They'll just pack up the 2-month-old and say, sit in the Holiday Inn in Oxnard. Children.
The Trayvon Diggs is going to start training camp on PUP. Not a lot of clarity about exactly how quickly he'll be ready to go. I would imagine we're going to get some clarity of that whenever Mike McCarthy starts speaking. Not when McCarthy starts speaking. Whenever Jerry speaks, I guess we'll get clarity on that. We'll have timelines. And so you've got a setup with the cornerback group right now where there's a lot of guys who are... It's kind of a make it or break it time for them. So you've got their corner safety combo, Israel Mukwamu. You've got Nashawn Wright, who is just... not progressed at all the way that they had wanted him to, the way they anticipated he would. He's been banged up a lot, hurt a lot. I think this is probably end of the road for Nashawn Wright this year. Eric Scott Jr., who they drafted last year in the 5th round, and they actually traded a future pick to go up and get him. That's another guy that could be on the trading block or could be on the bubble. Two guys we heard earlier, Archer mentioning Junior Fajoko, the defensive lineman who could go. Eric Scott and Junior Fajoko are two examples right there of what happens when the coach who was here when you were picked, how that can shift things for you pretty quickly. Because Eric Scott and Junior Fajoko were two guys that Dan Quinn was a big fan of. And to be fair, Al Harris is still a big fan of Eric Scott whenever you hear him talk about him. But that's two guys that they were really excited about after last year's draft that could be traded or released or completely moved on from now because things are just... different. It's a different scheme. It's a different philosophy, different outlook. But with Diggs out, this is going to be a big opportunity for Kalen Carson, who they picked in the 5th round this year, the cornerback out of Wake Forest. He's a guy who I think they had him graded probably closer to like the 3rd, 4th round, and is a guy that they think they got really great value on. Is somebody I think they have in their future is that's going to be the guy starting alongside Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs whenever Jordan Lewis is out of here. That's going to be our trio of corners. But behind that, there's just a lot of questions about Jordan Lewis, 1 year older, being a little injury prone at this point in his career, undersized. What are you going to get out of him totally? How quickly is Kalen Carson going to be ready? Is Gerrion Conley, the UFL corner you signed, is he going to be a big contributor to this? So you end up with a lot of questions back there that lead to things like Archer talking about earlier that Stephon Gilmore could potentially still be on their radar if they get to camp and go, this is not working. That could be your Anthony Barr type signing where you get into camp and go, we got to flesh this out a little bit more.
So Gilmore's just sitting there waiting. Yep. Has he had offers that he's just being picky?
Publicly flirted with Carolina a little bit, but that's kind of just been it that we've heard about publicly. I think there was communication between Dallas and Gilmore's side, and it was clear they just weren't close early in the offseason. But other than that, I think it's just been largely quiet. It's been quiet for a lot of these veteran corners this year. In the free agent market, it's not paid off the same sort of way. before we go to the safety group, you talked earlier about Trey Lance's number one storyline for you. Like, that's where you're going to be focused.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think everybody's keeping an eye out on that. Would number two be, depending on how quickly it comes back, just overall during the course of training camp, whether they're here or back in Oxnard, is number two at this point, what does Trayvon Diggs look like? Because there have been so many questions about ACL players in recent years.
How many times does he curse out Dak? Call him the B word.
Yeah. I mean, Dak.
You weird
like,
for that.
Yeah, Dak. I miss no training camp time. Coming off my injury, I miss no training camp time, Diggs. That's what he'll tell him. But they've had a lot of issues with guys rehabbing from ACLs. We've talked about that over the course of the last 2 days, especially with Michael Gallup's retirement from the Raiders yesterday.
Say it.
Say what part?
Call them out.
Call out who?
Call out the people doing the surgeries.
I don't know that it's a surgery issue. Like that's what I'm saying.
Call out their training staff then.
But that's what I don't know. It's the training staff either. That's what I'm saying. Like, I legitimately have. There's a question of, is this bad luck that they've run into with Jabril Cox, Michael Gallup, and Terrence Steele? Those three. Is it specific to the positions they're playing and what they're being asked to do? Is Diggs, who a guy who's got to cut and move laterally a lot, is that going to be impacted by it? He's up on the list of things I'm watching to figure out. Okay, are you going to be able to legitimately count him? And if you can't, how big a difference does it make for them if you're getting 70% of what you've come to expect from Trayvon Diggs? That's going to be really difficult on their secondary.
It's huge.
Over in the safety group, you've got Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson solidified as your two starters after Jayron Kearse departed this offseason. They've had that three safety rotation a lot. Marquise Bell, who spent a lot of time in the linebacker room last year, out of necessity, is now back to his natural position at safety. And you've also got Wanye Thomas there, who can play nickel, can play some corner, can play in the box, can play free, strong. He's a really versatile player, and so they like him, and I think they'll have him around here a lot. But Malik Hooker specifically, as the free safety, the quarterback, the kind of 10,000-foot view of what the defense has set up and kind of directing everybody, is going to be so critical to the Cowboys' success on defense this year.
Because are you done?
Yeah, sure.
Wrapped up?
Yep, I'm done.
Good.
Malik Hooker, he's important.
Because we have a little surprise here.
Are you done?
B-Lo.
I knew I shouldn't.
The belt over to Peyton Phillip Russell.
Oh, I know what you did.
Oh, Bobby. Well, you got to know, I'm a producer too.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, play your dumb song.
You said the website, and so here we go. This is Obnoxious Bobby and his big forehead.
Yo, Bobby in the crib, forehead like a satellite. Mom gone left, him solo in the twilight.
Oh, no.
Neighbors peeping, whispering, how much they despise. Squabbling over nothing, he's the reason for the flies. Boy, blocking out the sun, eclipse on the rise. Apartment shaking Bobby's voice like a bad surprise. Think they hate him? Oh, that's just the starting line. Bobby ain't no quitter, he just sipping on that wine. Obnoxious Bobby got a body nobody's wanting. Forehead shining brighter than the morning. Ain't no debating. He just blaming on the world, perpetually frustrating. Lost his mom young, bit his soul, always prowling. Thought it beam illuminating paths, he's falling. Neighbors can't stand the noise he be bringing. But Bobby's vibe too strong, ain't no silencing. He got that Stephen King grin, lean like a villain. In the old department, sense of cold and a chilling. Annoying but determined, a king in his mind. As a mule, forever unrefined. Obnoxious Bobby got a body nobody's wanting. Forehead shining brighter than the morning. People hating, ain't no debating. He just blaming on the world, perpetually frustrating. He got that Stephen King grin, lean like
Stephen King grin.
Sense of cold and a chilling. Annoying but determined, a king in his mind. Stubborn as a mule, forever unrefined. Obnoxious Bobby got a body nobody's wanting.
Thank you, AI, for that.
Jeez. Good. Wow. There's only one problem with the song, Peyton. There's the line in there. It's just it's not accurate. It says, like, Bobby got no bodies or whatever. I got bodies.
Hopefully just one.
No, but remember there's the girl on Snapchat who tried to blackmail me.
That one was a little...
Oh, no, wait, that was you.
A little dark.
That one was a little harder to understand, but Bobby has been...
Oh, I got all of it.
Did you?
Yeah, every
line. Bobby's been putting in AI songs for everyone as we are leaving for Oxnard, and that was Pepe behind the...
Second line, man.
I just want to know what you typed in. Forehead, annoying...
Yeah, how'd you have that many characters?
Mom, apartment. What else did you put in?
I think that was it. Maybe Loud in there too.
Or
they just assumed that.
What was your line that you liked?
The second line, like something about his mom
left him.
Yeah, the mom left him.
She didn't leave me. She was taken by, it was an acute respiratory distress syndrome. It basically hardened her lungs, and like she had a hole like blown out in them.
Okay.
And her lungs couldn't recover, so she like she basically spent a month on a ventilator.
That's old news.
Couldn't breathe.
Let's move on. We move forward.
Ventilators are very relevant in this day and age. I don't know what you're talking
about. That's old news. So there's
4 years ago.
Pepe's revenge on Roberto in his very own segment here on Sean and RJ. All right, we need you to hit the microphone on the Odyssey app to record your predictions for training camp, not for the Cowboys, but for the radio station. Training camp over-unders for 105 through the Fan and the entire staff. That kicks off the final hour of the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.